Well, the last time it granted a delay, it said this was the last time. So here we are, the time after the last time. The two out of the three judges actually agree that it's worse than a farce at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's outrageous. And at some point, the procrastination is just, it goes too far. The judge, actually one of the judges said, you can't have a state sit on the fence for years at a time and simply gaze at illegal structures and not make a decision about whether they're going to either legalize them or demolish them and do nothing, essentially. Now, all of that would be bad enough, but there's no status quo and there's no vacuum and things aren't standing still. One side is very, very actively taking advantage of the state's hesitancy and the other side is doing nothing.
How? Who's taking advantage? You know,
the Palestinian Authority is going full speed ahead, building all through Judea and Samaria with the help of the European Union and European governments, building as if there's no tomorrow and as if there's no law because the State of Israel, which is supposed to enforce the law, is behaving as if there's no law, turning the other way and making believe that nothing is happening.
So you're saying that the Khan al-Ahmar is a microcosm of the larger event that's going on in the West Bank?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This is a massive strategic challenge to Israel's jurisdiction. And it is a massive threat to the future of the area. No matter what future you see for Judea and Samaria, the fact that one side is creating facts on the ground, massive facts on the ground, and the other side is pretending that it's not happening, means that inevitably we will come to a place of conflict. There can be no peaceful resolution when one side is taking the law into its own hands and the other side is refusing to enforce the law.
Now let's get back to the Khan al-Ahmar. Now apparently the state presented some kind of confidential document. Do you know what this could be?
The state said it would present a confidential document. It hasn't done so yet. It has asked for an extension in order to do that. So it's been given 6 months to do that, and then we will be given, as the plaintiffs, we will be given the opportunity to respond. Hopefully we'll be able to see what it is that they are claiming, but we don't anticipate any surprises. The confidential document most likely will outline all sorts of international pressure,
yes,
which is nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on for over a decade. It's continuing to go on. We know we've had threats, direct threats from the outgoing Chancellor of Germany. We've had threats from all sorts of international actors and from the European Union itself, claiming that it would be a war crime for Israel to actually enforce its jurisdiction and enforce the law and remove illegal construction and move people out of a dangerous area that is under registered for expansion of a Jewish community and for a main thoroughfare,
mm-hmm,
and put them in an alternative area on state land, fully developed for these people to live in a normal fashion, and that they're calling a war crime.
I know you talk about this, an alternative, and I understand it's being built, and it even has water, electricity, and all the services. How many people are we talking about here?
Approximately 80.
80, that's it. All this, yeah, over 80 people.
Correct. It's possibly even less than that. At a certain point, the population of Khan al-Ahmar has fluctuated over the years. The majority of people who lived in this outpost actually did come to an agreement with the State of Israel and relocated.
Hmm.
Just a few holdouts that are still there have become pawns, really, in the Palestinian Authority's larger strategic plan to take control of land in really strategically critical areas throughout Judea and Samaria. So they're being forced to stay there, even though they personally have expressed interest in relocating. The Palestinian Authority has threatened them with physical violence, and
wow,
the European Union has essentially paid them to stay where they are in order not to relinquish control of the territory. And the State of Israel has been afraid to reassert its jurisdiction in this area. So we're dealing with a very small enclave, which is, I would say, emblematic. We call it the flagship,
mm-hmm,
of the Fayyad clan. And the people who are living there are really unfortunate because they're being used as a political tool to help the Palestinian Authority gain control.
Naomi, in the past, Naftali Bennett criticized the previous government and Netanyahu for his failure to carry out this demolition, and now his government is doing the same thing. So what does that say? What do we learn?
Absolutely. Not only did he criticize, he actually mocked the previous government. He mocked Netanyahu. Ayala Chaked made very strong statements. Gideon Saar made very strong statements. The list goes on and on. The vast majority of members of the current government have came out in the past when they were not members of the government with very, very strong statements about the problematic nature of this illegal outpost and the other outposts like it that have been developed ever since the Khan al-Ahmar hit the ground. Mm-hmm. We're expecting them to actually make good on their very bombastic statements from the past. And we're expecting them one way or the other to protect Israel's vital strategic security interests in this area and in other areas in Judea and Samaria.